Show.
That's my open?
That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hip Bradford.
That's my open. I'm waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion.
Bradfo Show. That's delicious.
He said he would never come on the podcast again.
This is not a podcast. No, I'm not doing the podcast.
He said he never would come on the podcast again.
And this is not the podcast.
He said he would never come on the podcast again.
This is not a podcast unless you put it on a podcast and make it one.
What's the charity again, Joe Kelly?
Mission 108.
And how do you partake in this charity, Joe Kelly?
There's numerous ways. You know, one, you can go to the website directly at Mission 108, or you can click on my Twitter and click on my pinned tweet for the JK56 challenge. Or you could find it, you know, listening to your podcast.
How much money have you raised since you started the JK challenge, whatever?
So we're pushing. We're almost to 18,000. So it's been awesome. No, it's been great. You know, I think we're at 17,800 and something.
That's in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's been less than 2 weeks. It's been great. You know, a lot of people, you know, who love the shirt have been able to donate, you know, $108 to Mission 108 and get...
You're talking about the Joe Kelly Fight Club shirt.
Fight Club tee, yes. So once you donate to Mission 108, you know, $108, you get the Fight Club tee with it. And then you're also donating to a good cause. So it's been good, and we're close to our goal. So we're trying to, you know, keep this pushing. And then, you know, obviously we're going to have some other goodies coming out for, you know, people who've donated, you know, the most money. So the top donors are going to get, you know, some special, some extra.
How's your life changed over the last 2 weeks?
It's been crazy. It's been fun, though, you know. Well, obviously, haven't been able to play baseball, you know. But it's been good, you know. I still come to the field, hang out with the teammates, you know, get my work done, you know, all the way up until game time, until I have to go outside. But, you know, other than that, it's been cool. I've been able to, you know, watch a baseball game, which I wouldn't think I have done, you know, for a little bit of time. I got to watch a baseball game, you know, throughout the beautiful park of Fenway. You know, America's most beloved ballpark, you know. You got to go to, you know, left field, got to go to right field, got to go to the pavilion, got to go to not Budweiser anymore, the Sam Adams deck. You know, sit with Sam Kennedy, Tom Warner, hang out with them in the suite, Mr. Henry. You know, everyone's like, man, you're bored. And I was like, well, I mean, I want to stay at the field and, you know, and watch the games just because, one, A, my family's back in California, and what am I going to do, go back home and sit on my couch and watch a baseball game? So that's kind of, I wouldn't feel like I'm as close to the action or as part of the team. Like I said, it's been a wild 2 weeks, and I'm ready to get back to, you know, playing some baseball.
What's it like? Have you been suspended before?
No, never.
Was being suspended what you thought it would be like, the feeling?
It's different. I was telling Sam the other night, Sam Kennedy, that, you know, it's weird how quickly I became a fan, and I felt, you know, so far away from the team during the games. I mean, I've never, you know, got anxious or, like, you know, get upset for a walk or anything, and as a player, so I'll be sitting in right field, and say one of our starters, anybody, bullpen guy, starter, anybody gets, you know, base loaded, nobody out, say that, I'm like, and I'm sitting down there going, not even gonna stretch, have all the confidence in the world, like, that we're gonna get out of this, and pull the Houdini, bam, you know, a guy gets on first base with like a broken bat, two out hit, and I'm sitting up there, I'm going, dang it, oh my gosh, and then, you know, I start panicking a little bit, getting a little anxious, just because I know that I have no involvement, you know, I can't control any of this. I'm not gonna be able to play. So that was probably the hardest part about it, just having to sit there and watch, knowing that you can't do anything about it.
When's the last time that you felt that way? You've obviously played, and you haven't witnessed. You haven't been a fan. You haven't been in the stands.
I don't know, probably watching my brother's basketball game, or, you know, another event in my family.
But not a baseball game.
No, not baseball. No. I haven't felt that way. Yeah. No.
Did you have any idea that you like when you said that when they came down and said, all right, you're suspended? And like, okay, whatever. I got 6 games. Did you have any idea this is what I'm going to do? This is going to how I'm going to feel? Or did you have to ask someone, what am I allowed to do? What can I do? What can I do?
No, I knew exactly what I was going to do. I was playing the whole time when they got suspended. You know, first game, I already knew I went to go sit up in Toronto in the stands. So, I mean, it was. I know what the letter says. I just can't sit in team areas. I got to sit in a ticketed seat or a suite or go home. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go sit in the seats. I'm going to go sit in a suite. So, no, I knew exactly what I was expecting going into the suspension. I wasn't going to have to ask anyone. Just, hey, I'm going to go sit in the seats. In that first game in Toronto, I sat in the seats with a Heath Hembree jersey on. So I had a Red Sox jersey on, and it had Hembree's last name on it. It was our blue one, our Blue Friday. So that was...
Was that his jersey?
Yeah, it went down to my knees. He's 6'5". I wore that all the way up in left field. So that was interesting, and we went 1-0 with Heath Hembree's jersey on.
Wait, you were in left field?
Oh, yeah, the very top of the stage.
No, you weren't, really?
Yeah, I was.
Was anyone around? Because there's no one up there in Toronto.
They close it, so I had to show my player ID, and they're like, yeah, you can sit here. You wear glasses, huh? I was like, yeah. So, yeah, no, they don't let anyone up there just because not that many tickets were sold.
You stayed up there the entire time?
For the most part, I walked around a little bit, sat behind the first baseline up there, you know, closer to the family section, but... No, but yeah, that was my whole plan. Right when I get suspended, I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna go watch the games after I have to get kicked out of the clubhouse. So.
Did 6 games seem like a long time?
Very long time. Very long time. The games go by. They go by slower as a fan, obviously, than a player.
Tell me about it.
So now I know. Now I understand. You know why the game's trying to get sped up, because it gets a little bit long out there when you're watching it on TV or you're watching it, you know, in the seat.
As a fan, when you're out there, besides it being a snail's pace in terms of the game, what else surprised you about being out there? Like, because I say as a reporter, you always want to, you should go out to see, this is why people come to games. We're complaining about the cookies in the press box and the time of game. What was enlightening to you about being out there? That people care about what's going on and they're not paying attention, or
it's a mixed batch. Not everyone's paying attention. Obviously, you see. Nothing was really enlightening to me. It's pretty much what I expected. Although, like, looking out from the bullpen, like, the seats out there look really, really far. But then I sat and I'm like, oh, it's not too bad, actually.
You said that there isn't a bad seat at Fenway, which is complete hooey. I mean, it's...
No, I sat behind the pole. That's fine. I mean, that's for the people that don't have to pay attention. You'll be fine. You'll be safe.
You sat out in right field. The seats are like, pointing in the other direction.
You could turn your head. There's plenty of great spots.
What are you?
5,000 seats here. It's not even a big...
You have been hanging around Sam Kennedy, too.
Yeah, it's great. All you have to do is just turn your head left or right. You're fine. Relax, guys.
Going back to after your incident happened, were you worried, like, how the reaction was going to be? Obviously, we know what the reaction was. You got 2 different standing ovations. Congratulations for that. But were you curious about what the reaction was going to be?
No, I didn't even think about it, honestly. I just, that was the last thing, you know, in the back of my brain. I was just worried about, you know, obviously what were the repercussions of going to be. And then we found out there's going to be suspension. So, but no, after all that, it was, I mean, that was cool. That was awesome. That was one of my favorite moments, obviously, again, standing out.
Did it take it totally by surprise?
Standing out?
The one at Fenway first.
Oh, the one at Fenway?
Yeah.
No, I had an idea just because, you know, I was getting, every time I get up to go to the bathroom in the bullpen, like, Joe, you're getting up, let's go. I'm like, no, guys, relax, I got to go to the bathroom. You know, and then I started warming up and people already started cheering. So I was like, all right, maybe it might get loud. And but that was cool, you know, just going into a game. I mean, a game that we wanted to win, but getting to be able to pitch, you know, not the next day, or, you know, but fairly quick. You know, just kind of put the whole situation that happened behind me and just get back to pitching. And then you get a standing out. I think that was pretty cool.
How about the Garden?
The Garden was cool. You know, hockey game. And it was one of those last minute things. They're like, hey, they're putting you on the Jumbotron and there's a camera right there. And then they're going to put you on. I was like, oh, all right. And then they showed a fight and people were getting nuts. You know, hockey fans, they're all about that. So and they were cheering for the thing, and then all of a sudden they panned to me and they got even louder, so that was pretty cool. And then a couple chants broke out. So that was fun. That's sports, you know, that's fun to see.
Now, your wife did an excellent job on this podcast. Congratulations. But I asked her this question, like, how, just walking down the street, how things have changed since then. Like, we obviously know about the charity, we know about the standing out, yeah. But for you, how has things changed?
Yeah, it's been wild. I mean, I would get recognized here and there, you know, fairly around the city or going to a restaurant or anything, but, you know, I was at the Children's Hospital today, you know, trying to, you know, make some kids happy that are going through tough times, and walking on the street, and I was a little lost, and, you know, just random people come like, Joe Kelly, yeah, I love it. Can I get a photo? So it's been crazy like that.
Pose like this with your fist up.
No, I haven't done that, but it was pretty cool. I don't know if I just say it, but I'm not going to drop his name, but I got a pretty cool photo the other day in the suites with someone that is going to get reelected. That's pretty high up there in this whole entire state, you know, wearing
the governor.
I'm not going to say any names. Chucky B is his nickname. No, that was cool. I got to meet him, and that was a good time. So, you know, it's been fun. You know, got to, you know, the other day, you know, I was sitting in the suites again, and I met Julian before, and I met Amendola in St. Louis. So they knew I was sitting in the suites. They're like, hey, go get Joe and tell him to come over and hang out with us. And so one of the suite executives came over and like, hey, Julian Edelman and Danny Amendola want to hang out with you. I was like, all right, like, tell him I'll come over in the fourth, and, you know, went over there, and it was cool. Ended up talking, you know, more sports, and Julian's a very, very into the mental aspect of the game, and so am I. I was a psychology major, so it was cool to kind of pick his brain, and we talked for, I don't know, the fifth inning all the way to end of the game about, like, kind of like sports psychology, so that was interesting to see. You know, that guy works his butt off, so, I mean, it's kind of good to pick his brain and, you know, what makes him tick, so that was fun. So, like I said, the suspension's been long, but I've happened to meet some pretty awesome people and hear some good stories and, you know, be able to, you know, like I said, help people out through charity and, you know, make appearances and try to, like I said, go to children's hospitals and you know, and all those kids are so happy, you know, they pass away the next day. So that's pretty awesome to see. And anyway, I could help out, you know, during this time is what I was trying to do.
Do you think they would want to hang, not the kids, but do you think that Julian Edelman would want to hang out with you on March 30th?
Well, if it's not a school night, then maybe I'll go knock on his door and ask him to come out.
But you know what I mean. You know what I'm talking about. This is what makes this whole thing so bizarre. I mean, you're a relief pitcher. Relief pitchers don't get standing outs anyway. But then you went from, you know, the fickle nature of relief pitching is you're bad. You're the least popular guy for at least a day, and then you come back a little bit. But then 2 weeks later, you're the most popular guy.
Yeah, they don't talk about relief pitchers, so it's cool. You know, I've always had, and I don't want the fight to be, you know, all me, but I've always had I feel like a pretty good personality, and I can have fun and keep things light, and no one is trying to be serious. So, and it's just something that, you know, I was like, not like trying to get that out there, but, you know, I was like, I'm just gonna start having fun again, like, as much as I can. You know, I don't know how long baseball's gonna last, and I don't know what I'll do after, but I didn't want to, you know, be going to the park, because when I play at my best, I'm relaxed, I'm having a good time, and that's not saying, hey, I have a bad outing and I have another bad outing, then I'm not gonna do the same thing. Like, that's just because I had a bad outing. But, you know, I want to be as most relaxed and have fun as I can, because that's when I was, you know, playing baseball at the highest level of my career. So it was just something, you know, I'm going to be 30 in a month, and, you know, just sitting down realizing I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to play this game, obviously. So I just wanted to have as much fun as I can and actually enjoy being a Major League Baseball player and not, you know, worrying about, hey, what about, you know, numbers, or we're going to play next year or anything. So I just kind of been living in the moment, and I feel like it's helped me relax and helped me, you know, focus on what I need to do of just getting back to, like, just relaxing and having fun.
This allowed you to do that?
No, I was already doing that before. You mean the fight? No.
No,
after that first outing, you know, it was something like, I was like, I'm not going to let this get me down. I'm just going to keep having fun, you know. Came to the park the next day, laughing, smiling. Like,
well, I mean, like, in spring training, obviously you were having fun.
Yeah.
But then you, in the past, if you had a moment like you did on opening day, you would have let that eat at you longer, but you're...
I wouldn't know, because I usually get over it, but I just wouldn't have... let my full personality show. I'm not going to let it eat at me in the clubhouse, but I'm not, you know, going to be, you know, laughing and joking. But I'm going to be, you know, still a good teammate, still smile. But, yeah, I mean, that stuff like that is, you know, something that happens and you're not going to be able to control the next day. So I was like, I'm not going to, you know, dwell on it. I was like, all I need to do is just throw 100,000 scoreless innings to get my ERA under a 10.
But that's the thing, right? You have to throw 100,000.
Like, great. Well, now I put myself in a hole. Now I got to challenge myself and freaking throw a gazillion million innings without allowing a run before I could ever look like I'm a good reliever. So.
But that's the thing, is it takes 100,000 innings for a relief pitcher to get the people back on your side, and then, you know, next
so
thing.
So I cut to the chase, and I'm like, well, I don't think I'm going to throw 50 scoreless innings.
Yeah, you're going
to
fight. That's how it works.
And the fight. I mean, that's how it works, I guess. Yeah, you're right.
But so to go back to your being able to be a person, show your personality and everything, all the stuff that you're doing, and you listed all this different things that you're doing, that must allow you to do that more than, you know, you can be, your teammates can see it, but people can see. Like, people know you a lot more now than they did even in the previous 2 years you've been here.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, I've always been, you know, quirky, funny, and then the Jimmy B, you know, I was like, all right, let's get this done, let's do this. And then, you know, I've always been, I'm not going to say I've always been, but I've always loved to help out, you know, around the community, and I just feel like as a relief pitcher, so I don't have, like, the big name to do it, or, you know, I'm not a closer, you know, I was a fringe starter at best, and I never felt like I was, you know, had enough, I wouldn't say, you know, popularity or pull, but, I mean, I just feel like I wasn't my time, my spot. You know, I would always do whatever I can for events to help out on the field. I try to go to children's hospital as much as I can, even before all this. But now it just makes it even better because I feel like people obviously recognize me a little bit more, and now it has a little bit more weight to it outside the field. You know, it's just me doing the same things, but now people notice me more, so it's them putting more weight into it, which, you know, is fine with me because, like I said, I want to keep doing what I'm doing, you know, on and off the field, and now I feel like I have a platform to do it. You know, obviously right now until, you know, everything dies down, but I just think it was a great time, you know, I mean, my wife to help out and do obviously the charity stuff, but, you know, like I said, I told Sarah before the season, Sarah Naracha, I was like, hey, any kind of thing you have for an event, you know, I want to do it, you know, charity, you know, kids, especially kids, and Robbie Scott has a group that, you know, obviously he's in Pawtucket, but, you know, whenever he's not here, I told him, hey, I'll be the guy, I'll take your group out, I'll talk to him on the field, I'll hang out with him, and he was, you know, happy for that. But like I said, it's what I wanted to do before the season. Like, I wanted to have fun and I wanted to help out as much as I can, just because I knew, like I said, going in, you never know how much you got left, and that's exactly what my plan is. You know, play good, play bad, it doesn't matter. I want to have fun and I want to, you know, be as much as I can to help out.
Has this month changed your perspective on your future? I mean, in case people don't know, you're eligible for free agency, the big free agent payday after this year. But this month, has this changed your perspective? Because contract years can be tough, even for wacky Jimmy Buchanan.
Even for
middle relievers.
Yeah, subpar. I don't think subpar middle relievers are stressing, like, free agency. I mean, there's, like, maybe I could hopefully play another year.
I don't think you understand. If you're wacky, you can get paid a lot of money.
I don't know. I mean, I was trying to tell Tom and Sam last night that, hey, you guys know that I'm only got 6 months left, guys. But let's go. No, I mean, it's not something that, you know, like I said, that was the last thing I was ever going to focus on, you know, going in the year. And I think that, like I said, like, just going out there and having fun and the, like I said, the two things I really want to do, and not be mad about, you know, tough outings or not get too high on good outings. Like, you know, just try to stay even keel and then see what happens at the end of the year and not be mad at myself for, man, why did I take it so hard, literally, or why didn't I have fun? Like, I don't want to look.
You were like that last year?
I was like that last year, too. You know, it was just, obviously, I'm not being Jimmy B or anything, but I was still having fun, you know, messing around the bullpen. Like, I've always done that. Just the public hadn't seen it. So it was just one of those things, like I wanted to fight for, like, what I think is right. And just because I'm one of those guys, if I go back and go back home and I'm like, man, I didn't even stick up for myself, or I didn't, like, I'm not going to be able to be, like, happy. Like, that's going to make me kind of angry and not be in a good mood. So, like I said, I'm not going to let the bad outings mess me up. I'm not going to let the good outings mess me up. And I'm going to stick to my script and see what happens.
Last question. When you look at the pitcher, of yourself bracing for the fight? Do you feel like you had proper form?
No, it could have been better. You know, it's tough being, you know, if I ever get charged again, I'm going to be, you know, obviously the smallest guy in every fight, most likely, in all of Major League Baseball, unless I'm fighting, I don't know, Jose Altuve probably weighs more than me. Unless I'm fighting maybe Mookie, we're probably about the same size. Like, you know, anytime I get charged, I'm going to be much smaller than the opponent. So it's something that I just, you know, I put in the back of my brain, like, hey, just don't get killed. You know, you're supposed to lose this thing, and whatever happens is a win-win. And, you know, the form is key, and the form is key, so, you know, you can't get wrapped from a just.
You had good spacing. You had good spacing.
You have to. You can't get close to someone bigger and stronger than you, or it's just going to get bad for the smaller opponent. So you just gotta know the tactics, I guess, and just react and try not to die.
Well, I want to thank you for the $100 to charity that
you give back.
Make
sure you give Rick's $500 back too, also
to charity.
Yeah, to Mission 108. If you take the $600 we owe you, because for you guys that don't know or heard Rob's show or heard his commercial like a zillion times, what is it called? Awaken 180?
You got it.
There it is. You guys heard it. For you guys don't know, Rob actually looks really, really good, and it's not about the money. I'm proud of you. You made a life change, and you're probably more healthy, and you're, I don't know about, you know, what the doctors say, but physically, you look way better in a suit now, and you might have a little bit more confidence to work the real cool clothes at Gould's.
Two sponsors in one shot. That's why you're the best. Thank you, Joe.
You know, some people try to get it, and I try to just help you out, brother. I got you.
Marvin and Lester, say hi. All right. See you later.
All right. This is not a podcast, by the way.
This is absolutely a podcast. See you later.